Blog Talk Radio.
Because God's trying to tell you I'm going to do it this week. Run, mama, run. That's it. Prophesy. I got to preach. I ain't got a whole lot of time, but will you push your neighbor and tell him God said he's going to do it this week? God said he's going to do it this week. Okay, y'all. Come on, get your Bible. Let's turn our attention to the screen. I don't have a whole lot of time. If you was going to shout, you should have shouted by now. Come on. Come on, Tyra Hill. I got to get out of here. I got 18 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. I just got a conviction in my spirit that the longer it takes me to praise, the longer it takes God to do what I asked him to do. But if I praise God quick, I believe God going to respond. See, some of y'all still waiting on your flesh. You still waiting on your mind to catch up with your spirit. You got to make your... You got to call your mind subject to your spirit. I don't care what it looks like. The man of God said it's going to happen this week. If God didn't want you to hear it, he'd have let you overslept. You in the room because God wanted you to hear me say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this week. Come on. I'm going to do it this week. Talking, that's okay. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing then. Just stand up in here and look cute. Don't say nothing. You're going to have to wait another week, but I'm decreeing and declaring what I've been waiting on God to do, it's going to happen. Push your neighbor, tell him you better say something or get off my road. You better say something. God's going to do it. Come on. Hebrews. Y'all so rebellious. Sit down, please. Sit down. Come on, tell your friend to sit down. You didn't wait it this long. You can wait another week. You can wait to June. You didn't wait it this long. Just you ain't in no rush. You ain't. I got some demons I need God to kill this week. I got some devils I need God to deal with. Somebody said before I leave this building, I got some... Y'all all in my time, but I need somebody to scream like by the time you get in your car. Y'all excuse me, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody praise him. I feel that in my spirit. By the time you get in your car. Whatever you want to do, Jesus. However you want to fix it, Lord. Yeah. Ah, Lord. Ah, Lord. Come on, let's go. I feel churchy and I got to preach some of y'all. Some of y'all don't need a break. You just came to get a word. I'm sorry, but it's about 326 of y'all that say, I need a breakthrough. Come on, get your Bible. You need a... Get your Bible.
Amen. Amen. First of all, the God who's there about life. Welcome, welcome, welcome to War Gospel Connection. Where your host is Pastor Kashima Douglas, and my guest is Pastor Selena Randall. Get ready to hear this word from this phenomenal woman of God. Definitely want to give all the shout-outs, all the countries that's listening in, Brazil, China, Hong Kong, Bulgaria, Paris, Mexico, Canada, Russia. Thank you guys for tuning in. Know that you can't praise God openly like we can over here, but we're praying and interceding for you. You're not in this fight by yourself. Remember, keep pushing through. Have faith size of mustard seed. It doesn't matter what it's looking like. Keep pushing through. God loves you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with you. In spite of what you're doing, he's right there with you. Father God, we ask you to have your way this morning on this line. Let your daughter speak to your people. Let's affirm more of you in the name of Jesus, God. Let the people understand that this is your way, not their way. Let them get out the driver's seat and let you drive. Because without you, we are nothing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Woman of God, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, ma'am, can hear you clearly. I'm going on mute. The floor is yours. I'm excited. I'm driving, but that's okay. You on speaker, so I'm ready.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity, Apostle. I greatly appreciate it. I just want to say that you can't put a Kojic, listen, I got Kojic in my background. You can't put me up behind William Murphy like he did. He was setting me up on today, and I said, listen, it's getting ready to happen for me this week. And this is not my message, but that came to encourage me and to tell the people of God to hold on, because God is getting ready to happen, which leads me and segue me in to what the Lord has really put on my heart. And he told me to tell the people to apply the pressure. A lot of times we get caught up in what the enemy's doing and how much pressure he's putting on us until we don't really apply the pressure to our situations. Hey, I learned that when taking CPR, if you get a wound, you have to apply pressure to that wound to stop the bleeding. If you don't stop the bleeding, then you'll continue to bleed on people and on things that are around you. And he said, Selena, he said, you can't bleed where you lead. So you have to begin to apply pressure to areas that have already conquered you, that have already caused you some kind of distress, has already caused you some kind of discord, and you have to begin to apply the pressure. We want to release pressure on people. We want to release everything. But how about applying some pressure? The enemy is relentless by applying pressure on us when we get in our troubles and our trials and our situations and with our families and friends and our jobs and our finances. The enemy doesn't mind applying pressure, and he begins to release negative thoughts in our minds. But the Bible says to take cast down every imagination that comes in the mind. And so I'm encouraged today because I know God is getting ready to do something. And the reason why he's telling us to apply the pressure is because when I open up these doors for you in this next season, I need you to be ready. I need you to have your mindset right. I need you to not bleed on the people that are coming that don't know your story. We tend to bleed on people that that don't even know the background or don't even know the betrayals and the hurts and all of the bruises and the oozes that we have taken, but we allow our inner demons to come out and ruin a perfect opportunity. So God is saying, and he gave me 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 7th through the 18th verse. I'm not going to read it all, but I am going to start with, but we have this treasure of jar. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-suppressing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. For we are alive and are always being given over to the death of Jesus' sake so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So let me stop right there, because when we're talking about the clay, God says that we were molded and shaped in the form of clay. And so if he's molding us and he's giving us to be the potter, because he said, greater works will you do. So we are molding our lives and we're shaping our lives the way that we need to go. And God is saying that now that you have the potter, the clay in your hands, I'm giving you the power to make this plate, whatever piece of pottery you want to make, I'm giving you the power to create this beautiful piece so that you'll know where the divots is. You'll know where the hidden bruises are. He says, so you'll take a plate just like a potter does and begins to shape things out of clay. He begins to make a plate, and you can put whatever kind of polish on it, whatever kind of the decorative design. Whatever, if you want to put a dip in your plate, if you want to put a bowl, make your plate a bowl, and then make it a plate, you have the power to make that. And then when you do that, you let it sit, and then you put it in the fire. Why? Because the fire symbolizes that it needs heat. Why do we put it in the heat? Because with that pressure, the pressure from the heat begins to mold the clay. God says that when your tests and trials come up on you, you are like that pottery that's in the fire. You're being molded and you're being made to what he has called you. You need to tell yourself, I am God's masterpiece, and I have been molded in the way that he should go. Life has a way of taking us in different directions, and God is saying, honey, I'm trying to steer you back to where I first formed you. You may have gotten out of the way, and you've gotten into the field, and you've got some dents and some bruises in your armor, and you may have got some damages to your armor. He said, but I'm putting you back in the fire so that I can remake your armor. How about I say? God says to stay in the fight. Don't give up, because I'm remaking your armor. Because see, what's happening is God's getting us ready for what's happening. What's happening? What's happening? What is God revealing to the people? He said, tell my people to stay focused. I don't care what the enemy is throwing upon you. I don't care what the enemy is putting in your way. Stay focused. Don't get out the fight. Don't get out the fight. As a matter of fact, get in the fight and put your armor on. We have to learn how to take control. And when God is applying pressure, we want to jump out the fight. We want to say it's too hard. We want to say that I can't handle this. This is too much. But God is applying the pressure because I need you to be strengthened in this hour. Because I need you to minister to somebody that's going through what you're going through, that has gone through what you've gone through. And I need you to be that mouthpiece for me. So I'm going to apply pressure because I need you to grow up. I told the church about Sunday, it's like going through school. When you're in school, every grade applies more pressure to you. Why? Because it's increasing your knowledge to learn. God wants to increase who we are. God wants to make us a great nation. Excuse me. He wants to make us a great nation in this hour. So God says, and Peter says in this chapter, he says that that we're not in this alone. Notice that he then says, I am perplexed. I am persecuted. He said, we are hard-pressed but not destroyed. He said, we are a team, so we need each other. Everybody is not an island by themselves, but we need each other. Why do we need each other? For when I am weak, he is strong, but he sends an intercessor. He sends somebody that can pray on your behalf. He sends somebody that's going to fight for you and fight with you. Stay in the fight. Do not give up, because God is on your side. Paul doesn't sugarcoat the difficulties that he had in this lesson right here in 2 Corinthians. He said that even through his great endurance and troubles and hardship and distress, even being beaten and imprisonment with the riots and hardships, he never denounced that he didn't have problems. But the Bible tells us to suffer long. We have to long suffer. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit is long suffering. We have to learn how to endure. We don't want to endure. Listen, the coronavirus came up. People ran in the house, got scared, and shut their mouths. God said, no, no, no. Now is not the time for you to shut your mouth. It's for you to apply pressure and keep declaring my word. Everybody's saying God allowed this to happen. God is in control of everything. We have to understand that the outcome, what is the outcome of this? I made it through. COVID didn't kill me. COVID didn't take me out. COVID didn't shut my mouth. I might have a mask on, but it's not masking my praise. Amen. We need to learn how to let God speak for us. When the enemy begins to apply pressure and say we can't come out and we can't worship, my worship in my home ought to increase. My worship in my car should increase. My prayer life at home should increase. And I need to know when to fight. Come on. We running in the house behind these closed doors, and what are we praying? What are we seeking? What are we saying? Some of us have gotten scared. And so when COVID came in, COVID revealed the truth of the true saints of God. And it also allowed the wheat and the tare that has been growing together to be separated. Come on, somebody. We know that the people have lost friendships. We have lost family members, and those that are not strong enough to stand has gone back on what they have, their vow to God, and said, you know, I trust God, but I just don't know about this. I said Sunday, we have people in the church that are raising their hands, that are worshiping God, but still don't trust God, still don't believe God. Why? Because the enemy has painted this false picture that God is not coming through. But I told somebody on yesterday that the word of God is true. And when he said that God is not a man that he should lie, if he said it, he gonna bring it through. We have to trust the word of God. Why is it so hard for us, a man that will lie, and not trust the son of man that can't lie? Woo! I rest assured to know that I trust a man that can't lie, because I need to know that if he said it, it's going to happen. Yes, I may endure some things. Yes, I might be on a boat that might be shaking, but listen, God is not going to allow me to go overboard. God is not going to allow me to be tossed. He's not going to allow me to be lost. He's not going to allow me to be overtaken, because I'm an overcomer, and I speak victory in this season. Come on, somebody. God is getting ready to do a great thing, and I am applying pressure to everything that's causing me not to miss the mark. I'm applying pressure to every situation that will cause me to go back on the promises of God. Anything and anybody in this season that will cause you to slip up, to cause you to go back, to cause you to want to give up and turn around, you need to apply pressure to that. No, no, no. God promised me that if I diligently seek him, that he will give me the desires of my heart. So you got to learn how to pray God's word. That's what it means about applying the pressure. Everything that you've learned up until now, God says, I'm holding you accountable because you know my word. You know what I promised you. I don't care what kind of picture that the enemy paints, because he is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. Why? Because he comes in different schemes. He comes in different tactics. He likes to play mind games. And I taught the church for 5 weeks in a row about mindset, changing your mindset. How do you view this picture? What do you see when you see God? Do you see negative or do you see positive? Because we have to understand, what God are we serving? Because the God I serve does not give me negative outcomes. He does not give me negative results, but he gives me yes and amen. And sometimes the no may just be saving your life. We have to understand that it's not going to be a yes, yes, yes all the time, but it's going to be a no. It might be a not now. It might be no, turn down this street and go this way, because I'm sending you in a different direction. He don't want you to follow Mary, Jane, and John, because he got Peter, Timothy, and somebody else over here waiting for you. He don't want you to go to the left because he got the bankers sitting to the right waiting on your pitch. He's waiting on your vision. He's waiting on your dream that he gave you. He said, now is the season that you apply pressure to the visions that I've given you. He said, so I told you to write the dream. I told you to write the vision, and you wrote it, but what did you do with it? Now it's time for me to apply pressure to it, because I need to get you to a place where I can finance the kingdom. We all have dreams, we have goals, and we need money, we need this, we need buildings, we need houses. I need a house that man built, and I want it, and I don't want to have to pay for it. I want it to be given to me, because if I walk in obedience, when I walk in obedience, my obedience releases the hand of God. And we have to learn that when we walk in obedience with God, God told us to, what did he tell you? He said to get up, go into the highways and the byways. If he tell you to get up and go into the store, put on a red shirt with an orange hat, somebody is looking for you. If he tells you to cut your hair off, and like he told me, cut your hair and color it red, I say, God, this is not even me. You know who I am, but I had to be obedient. And he made it so okay with me until I followed the instructions of the Lord. When you follow the instructions of the Lord and you begin to apply pressure to what used to be, to your old mindset to change, hey, in order for us you to change, you have to begin to apply pressure to those old negative thoughts. No, I'm not going to think that way this time. I'm going to do what God says. Just one time, be obedient to God and see what God does for you. Just one time. And I guarantee you that it will become a repetitive behavior. And we have to learn, just like a child with their parents, you have to learn how to be obedient. What does being obedient mean? That means that if I'm obedient and I'm good, I might get an allowance. I might get a new toy. I might get a new outfit. I might, hey, mama might take me out to dinner. It's the same principle that applies with the Lord, giving us the power, the ability to be obedient. What has God called us to do? He's raising up his army. Why? Because there was an army, half of the army fell off. So he says, I need to gather my sheep. I need to gather my army to back into the fold, into the kingdom, because some people have lost their way. And so when you begin to think about how the enemy tries to trick us up in our mindset, you begin to apply pressure. Apply the pressure there, because why? I need to change the way I'm thinking, because the way I'm thinking now is not yielding me any results. And so we need to learn how to get the good results. Yes, I might get hit. Yes, my finances may go down. Yes, people might walk away from me. Yes, it might happen. People might turn on you. When you begin to walk in the obedience of God, the enemy will apply pressure all around you. The problem is we tend to yield to the pressure and not apply pressure to it. Now, I can't get defeated because somebody walked away from me that was a best friend for 20 years. No, I can't be perplexed. I can't be destroyed. I can't be cast down. It might hurt me, but is this the will of God? Did God assign this person to my life? So we have to watch our assignments. Is this an assignment from God, or is this something I picked up to do? Woo, that's a good word right there. That's a good word right there. But we have to renew our minds daily. What is God telling us? What can I apply pressure to in my life? What situation is causing me the most pain? If my family is causing me to go back and doubt God, then I need to begin to move. I need to begin to shift somehow. I need to be able to get out of this thing to where I can be in a place where I can worship God freely, where I can serve God freely. Hey, he said to leave. Oh, he said, are you willing to follow me? To follow Christ means you're going to lose some people. And you got to be okay with walking alone in some seasons. You got to be okay with following God no matter what happens and no matter what comes in our lives. So we have to fix our eyes on the unseen and the internal. I heard someone say that I've learned not to hold on to anything too tightly because it hurts when God has to pry it from my fingers. It's human nature to want to hold on to what we see and who we see, but all of what we see one day will melt in fire and heat and be made new. And all of who we see will be either in hell or heaven. No wonder Paul says this light and momentary trouble are achieving us for an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And that's in 2 Corinthians 4:17. I don't want to live in a body that has to have heart attacks, new hips and shoulders and all these different surgeries. I want to be able to have a body that's eternal, that's long living, that God has created. So when I get to that point that God has to take our mortal bodies, I want to be able to say, God, you created me. And when we get to talking about, you know, weight loss and, oh, I'm this and I'm that, you know, did God create us that way? Did God, he shaped and molded us in his image and in his likeness. Now, what we do to our bodies while we're here on earth is on us. We have to be faithful stewards in how we mold our bodies, because we're molding it too by eating all the stuff that is unhealthy and that's not pleasing to our spirit, to the spirit man. But we have to begin to give up some of those things that causes us not to be able to hear God clearly. We went on that 9-day consecration last week, and I tell you, we were on fruits and vegetables, and we were so light that we can hear God speak. We were hearing God speak so lightly. I said, God, I like this place. We need to stay in this place. Why? Because I had to challenge my flesh, because my flesh wanted to eat those things that are filling. But my spirit man says, no, I need to resist this because I need to hear from God. God is changing the frequency in how we hear him, and we need to listen. We need to, how do you change the frequency? By fasting and praying, by not eating things that are so heavy that keeps you bogged down. God says, I need my people to apply more pressure on the enemy instead of allowing the enemy to apply pressure on them. And this is the word of the Lord for today. So, Father, we thank you for the word. God, we thank you for this opportunity and for Apostle Kishima for allowing me to come on and speak to the audience, Father. We thank you, oh God, that they will begin to shift their mindsets and their hearts, Father, towards you. God, we thank you that they will begin to apply pressure to every wound that has been left open, that has been caused a heartache and pain. Father, we thank you now that you're calling healing to come forth from the inside out, Father. And that every scab that has been put on an open wound, or every wound that has been swept under the carpet or hidden deep in the heart, Father, that you will cause healing to come to it in the name of Jesus, Father. And we begin to apply the precious blood of Jesus, the pressure of the blood to every wound, every situation, every household, every home, God, every circumstances that has been perplexed, that has been in the fire, Father. We thank you now that even as they come out the fire, Father, that they're coming out as pure gold. God, and we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Such a powerful word. And there you go, elevate me. I just got ordained as a pastor. You can call me apostle twice. I'm like, wait a minute, God. Hold up. She, you pushing me.
Oh, Lord, I apologize. I thought you were an apostle. I don't know why I saw that.
Hey, you in the spirit. I already know what the Lord told me, but you didn't have to tell everybody just yet. you know, let me just walk into this pastory for right now.
Amen.
But thank you so much for coming on. You are so right. The proper walk is a lonely walk. Everybody wants these titles so bad, but they don't understand what you have to go through to get your knees dirty. You know, and I keep going through the scripture where many are called, but a few are chosen. The many want to be seen, but the chosen want to hear and preach the word of God. That's the difference that people don't understand. The many want to be seen and heard, but the chosen want to do the will of God and not the will of man. Thank you so much for coming on and giving that word. Father God, please give back to your daughter that she gave out to your people, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Seasons will open doors and traveling for the woman of God. She has so much in store for the people from you that they have no idea what they haven't heard yet. Apply the pressure. Continue to bless her, her husband, her family, and continue to guide and cover them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let the people know how they can contact you if they want to hear a word from you, or if they want to visit you, or anything, how they can contact you if they just want to hear another word. Or if y'all have live on church, what do they go to visit and see it?
Yes, thank you so much. I am on Facebook at Kingdom Connection Ministries International. I am on Instagram as KC Ministries International. I can be reached at 708-769-0458 if anyone needs prayer or needs a word. I can also be reached on I think that's it. But if they want to send me an email, they can send an email to kcministriesint@gmail.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. One of God, just one prayer request. I would like for you to pray for Lisa Williams, a special healing over her body. And that's the only one that I'm seeking for prayer as well.
Thank you, oh God. We thank you for Lisa Williams. God, we thank you for her life, her health, and her strength. Father, we thank you that she was formed in the image and the likeness of you, Father. We thank you, oh God, that you know every problem to her body, Father. You know every hair on her head, for you said they were numbered by you, Father. We thank you that you will go into the body, Father, where it has been reckoned with pain, Father. God, wherever she's hurting, Father, wherever there is an issue, Father, I see something, but I don't want to say it, Father. But I thank you, oh God, that you're applying pressure even in that area right there, Father. And I thank you now that you're healing her from the inside out, God, that you're getting into every nodule, that you're getting into every bump, God, every coil, God, that you're getting into every crevice of her body, Father, and that you're causing healing to come. For you said healing is the children's bread, Father. So we thank you now that you're laying your hands on her, even right where she that, Father, that you begin to touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Father, and you cause the divine healing, God. I call for sudden healing, God, instant manifestation of your healing to take place now, Father, for we decree that if two or three touch and agree, that you shall be in the midst, Father. I thank you that you said that you also sent your word and healed the people. So, Father, we're sending your word that by her, by your stripes, she is healed. Father, we decree and declare so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, woman of God. I'm not going to hold you up. I know you have to get back to work. If you want to go back and listen, I already tagged you. People of God, listen to this replay because you must apply pressure. We've been covering up these bandages and keep covering and covering these wounds. It's time to apply pressure and get healed. If you need help, you can reach out to us at 832-519-7646. Or you want Pastor Randall to help you, reach out to me. I will connect you. It's time to apply pressure and get healed. We're going to go to a musical break, and thank you guys for tuning in.
Where would I go without your hand holding me? I could not see. Lord, what would I do in life, and where would I go? How would I handle things, all that I know? I know. Oh. coming now, where I go.
A believer, your spirit is made right, but sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
cause all I seem to do is hurt me.
Keep applying that pressure that God says. Don't fall. Don't get weary in well-doing. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always right there with you. Remember, we're here to encourage, uplift, and inspire you. Stop focusing on what other things, what else is going around you. Focus on the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you, He will take care of His children. Remember, you need to bless all. You can reach me at 832-519-5646. Oh, we have a caller that's going to speak. Can you hold on for a second? Let me add her in. I'm excited. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the line.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, my sister, Pastor Douglas. Pastor Douglas. Pastor Williams. Pastor Williams. Good morning. Good morning. This is Lisa. I just wanted to chime in and say thank you so much for continuing to supply and feed God's people and continue to build God's kingdom. Also, I wanted to respond to Apply Pressure, my Lord. That was such a wonderful and strong and beautiful and rooted word, Apply Pressure. And when the young woman was speaking, it made me think about how the most beautiful things are grown when pressure is applied. And the first thing I thought about was that something that's like unbreakable is the diamond. You know how much pressure have to be applied to that coal in order for it to produce a diamond? And that's what God sees us as, of course, more precious than diamonds. But that was my vision when that young woman was speaking. And I say, Lord God, thank you for the pressure in my life. Thank you, Lord, for every obstacle in my life. Thank you, Lord, for everything, because every ounce of pressure, every moment of pressure, especially pressure when it comes to putting pressure in a faith-activating mode. You put pressure on that enemy, so he got to get ghost. He got to get gone. So I love that message. So just remember, keep applying pressure, but make sure you are applying your pressure in the correct way when it comes to the Word of God. Apply pressure in faith by activating faith when you're praying, when you're producing that fervent prayer. Apply pressure in your faith to not just know that God's word will come to pass, but that you just believe it, because knowing and believing are two different things. Yeah, I know what the words say, but do I truly believe what the word says? So apply pressure in that area. I love you guys. I'm so proud of what God is doing in your life. I'm so excited and so happy, and I am just humbled and so blessed to have the two of you as my family. So God bless every listener. Please share this line. Every listener, everyone that has trouble in their lives, you know what? If there is no trouble and no storm in your life, which side of the playing field that you are on, okay? Because there's nothing going on. Something ain't right. You may not be on the right team, and we're all in seasons, and just because you are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean that your life is going to automatically just turn out perfect. As a matter of fact, the enemy really going to try to come for you, so I put that pressure on that joker. Apply that pressure of the word and activate it with your faith. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I love you all. God bless.
Thank you so much for coming on and giving that word. And I agree, you have to apply pressure. People want to cover the wounds and pacify the wounds, but it's time to put pressure on that wound so it can be healed. The more bandages you keep covering up, it won't get healed. Hurt people hurt people. You can't preach the word of God if you still have blood on your hands. Wash your hands and help them get delivered. Thank you again for coming on. You're such an encourager. In spite of everything, you still continue to encourage people. And we love you and love you for that.
Amen. Love you guys, too. I'm so proud. I'm just, like, beside myself. And if anybody, if you're listening, don't just be a listener. Be a doer. Call in. Give your testimony. That's why I had to just stop my job and say, let me chime in. Let me chime in that. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Share your testimony. Share your trials, because someone is going through the same thing. And the Word of God says, what, we have set free by our testimonies, or we are overcome with that scripture.
That's right. Jeremiah 29,
you know, so,
therefore I know the plans
there it
for
is.
You. I have declared
there
to
it
you
is.
The Lord. Plans to prosper you
and
not to harm
you.
Plans to give you hope and a future.
And a future. Thank you, God.
It might be looking
Thank
rough
you,
right
God.
now, But I guarantee you won't look rough long. You have to go
Thank
through
you,
the
Lord.
Get through. You guys have your
Thank
best
you, God.
Time of the day. I'm going to play a sermon and know that we are here to inspire you, encourage, and uplift you. You're not in this fight by yourself. Remember, the Bible says, well, there are two or three, God is in the midst, and you must understand. If you wasn't doing something right, you won't be going through hell. You have to realize that. It's time for you to take your place. Stand up and break these generation curses. Stand up and be the man or woman of God called you to be. Stop focusing on what people call you. Focus on what God calls you to be. Carry it and carry it well.
I'm going to just let God do what he wants to do in this place. God told me that I'm going to send some people into the room who've been sitting on something they need to be carrying. It'll make sense if we get to the message. But I hear God saying that I'm sending some ideas and some businesses and some books that somebody's been sitting on. Somebody's been sitting on it. They've been laying on it. And I want them to know that it's time for them to start carrying it instead of sitting on what God gave them. It hit me like a ton of bricks when I was studying. I'm going to get into the text. It'll make sense, and we'll get there, and we'll pray, and we'll go home. John 5 and 6. This is not an unfamiliar text, but I saw something when I was studying that I think is going to speak to where we are. And it begins, it says, when Jesus saw him is this man who has been paralyzed and sitting by the pool at Bethesda. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus says to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. That's important because that means in order to heal him that Jesus broke some rules. And that's important because he shouldn't be carrying anything on the Sabbath. But when God calls you to start carrying what you have been sitting on, it doesn't matter what the rules and the boundaries think about it. It says, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them and he said, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. In other words, I don't have to have authority that you understand because Jesus said something to me that overrules anything that you could say. So, Father, I am asking that you would continue to sit in this room. Great God that you are living water. And when we drink from your well, Father, we never thirst again. God, we need a sip from your well. Somebody came in tired. We need a sip from your well. Somebody came in broken. We need a sip from your well. And Father, when we sip from that well, victory is our inheritance. And so, Father, we declare victory in this room because when you are in the room, there is no lack. God, I'm asking that you would meet every need, that you would identify every crack in that with your spirit you would fill us until we have been made whole, ready to pick up our beds and walk. As for me, Father, you can have complete control. If you want to change this message and change this text, you can do just that because I am here to serve you so that these people can be made well. So let there be no fear, no anxiety, no being in my head, just your spirit, your strength, your power standing tall in me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So I can remember when I was growing up and I thought that I was like grown when I turned 18. And because that's what the law says legally at 18, you're an adult. What I didn't know is that you're not really an adult until you pay bills. And I mean all of them, not that one little Nokia bill so that you can continue to play Snake on your phone. You pay all of your bills. And I didn't really understand that fully until I had moved out on my own and rent kept coming up short, you know, because I didn't have everything that you needed to have to stay there all of the time. And I can remember, I remember the last time I asked my mother for money because she hit me with one of those country sayings. And she said, only a fool buys what they want and begs for what they need. So did you just call me a fool, your child? Yeah, she said, only a fool buys what they want and begs for what they need. And it was from that moment forward that my paradigm shifted on want versus need. Because if you are not careful, you will think that something you want is actually something you need. And you have to qualify your wants versus your needs. Do I really need that? Is it going to sustain my life? Is it going to make me better in any capacity? Does it get me closer to my destiny, or do I just want it? And until we are willing to sacrifice what we want so that we can have what we need, we will always find ourselves stuck between where we are and where we could be. Because there are moments in life that simply require that you sacrifice what you want. When we find this man at the pool laying, waiting to be healed, he has an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus asks him, do you want to be made well? And he says back to him, I need someone to take me over to the pool, this notion of want versus need. I love this because as I was reading the text, it dawned on me that he had lost sight of what he really needed because he didn't have what he wanted. Yeah, because what he needed was to be made whole, but because he didn't have what he wanted, he thought that he lost access to what he needed. And I think that that is something that we have to be willing to really dissect in our lives as we determine the path to success and wholeness and purpose and ultimately building the kingdom is, am I keeping God regulated to what I think I need in order for me to achieve what he said was down on the inside of me? This man who's laying by the pool thinks he needs another person to get it. The only way I can have access is if another person gives it to me. But what Jesus says in exchange is so beautiful, and we're going to get into that. But you can be so blinded by what you think you need that you don't even recognize that the presence is carrying the very thing you're asking for. Because he's standing in front of a man who could give him exactly what he ultimately wants, but because he thinks he needs it in a different package, he misses the opportunity altogether. God, help me. That's why we got to seek the kingdom. That's why we got to be in the presence, because when I'm in the presence, God really qualifies what I want. He qualifies what I need. If you can't bring it into the presence, then you got to leave it where you found it, because it's in the presence that I can determine whether or not this is legitimate. He goes, you don't really need someone to put you into the pool. You really want someone to do it. God, I'm going to read it the way I wrote it in my note, because I believe that so many of us lose sight of what we need. And when this text began, Jesus asked the man what seems like an obvious question, but the truth is when you lose sight of what you need, you don't always have an answer to the obvious question. Should I go? Should I stay? Should I take the job? Should I not take the job? Somewhere along the way, he lost sight of what he needed. And so Jesus comes to expand the picture to remind him, oh, I feel that for somebody. Somebody needs to be reminded of what it is that you were really after when you came into this city. Somebody needs to be reminded of what it was really after when you got into that marriage, because when you get here you can start discrediting your dream and you can start discrediting what you think you need. But God comes and he expands the picture so that he can remind you the whole reason why you're lying here in the first place is because you told me that you wanted to be made well. You didn't tell me that you needed a man. You didn't tell me that you needed $1 million. You got around a bunch of other sick people who were laying by the pool and started thinking that the only way you could do it is if they could help you. But God came to told me, if no one else picks you up and takes you by this pool, if no one else sees the gift that I placed down on the inside of you, and all you do is have an encounter with me, that is more than enough. I hear God saying, you've been looking for love in all of the wrong places. I got everything you need standing right in front of you. Standing right in front of me. God, remind me why I got into this in the first place. God, remind me why I thought my art mattered in the first place. God, remind me why I thought this was my purpose in the first place. God, remind me why I dragged myself here and got this close. Didn't need anybody. I just wanted to be made whole. Man, that is when you can really trust that what you want and what you need can be trusted, is when it's what Jesus wants to. Yeah, because the man wanted to be made whole. Ultimately, that's what he wanted, but he thought he needed someone to do it. But when he has this encounter with Jesus, it reminds him to get back on the same page so that what I want and what Jesus wants can be the same thing. Sometimes I have to take a moment to myself and I have to ask myself, did you want that, or does you and Jesus want that? Because if you want it, then you can't ask God to bless it. But if it is what you and Jesus want, then no weapon formed against you prosper. And then every tongue that rises up against you, he will condemn, because me and Jesus want the same thing. When me and Jesus started wanting the same thing, my life started changing, because I was moving in the direction not of what I wanted, but what would build his kingdom. I showed myself trustworthy when I started doing that thing that he wanted too. So as I'm studying and I'm praying and I'm looking at this text, I realize how nuanced this situation is, because Jesus comes up to him, and a lot of the stories that we see in the Bible, we see someone calling out for Jesus to be made whole and to be healed, but Jesus approaches him. And he was waiting for a moment when the water would be stirred up. And he would have someone who would carry him. That means the water needed to be stirred up, and he needed someone to carry him at the same time. He was waiting for this moment when everything lined up. And while he was waiting for a moment, God brought a moment to him. It was such a sign to me that you think that it has to happen a certain way, but God says, when you're ready for the healing that I have for you, when what you want aligns with what I want, then I will bring the moment to you. I will bring the opportunity to you. I will bring the idea to you when it aligns with what I want to do in the earth. The moment is coming to you. The moment is coming to you. That's why you have to stay where you are. That's why you have to keep your heart posture correct. That's why you have to make sure that you're maintaining what you want. Because when the moment comes, you got to be able to identify that this is a moment. This is not just a regular encounter. This is an opportunity that could propel me into the next dimension of what God wants to do in my life. This moment is important because not only is it the moment in which the man will be made whole, but it's also the moment that is going to set up Jesus having a sermon with the Jews. So he couldn't just pick any regular person for this moment. He needed someone that would set it off. Yeah, he had a plan. He really wanted to make the Jews question what happened so that they would have an encounter with Jesus. So when Jesus has this moment with the man who's laying by the pool, he has the ultimate desire to give him what he wants so that he can get what he needs. Sometimes Jesus gives you what you want so that he can get you to where you need to be. Gotta say this the way I feel it. When I was studying, I was trying to understand what made this moment so powerful. Jesus needed something that would grab the Jews' attention. So he goes by this pool where there are a lot of sick people, and he has the intention of doing a miracle. But he couldn't just choose anybody. He needed someone who had something to carry as a sign of the miracle. Could have healed a blind man, but the blind man didn't have a bed to carry. He could have healed a deaf man, but the deaf man didn't have a bed to carry. He needed to heal the paralyzed man because this paralyzed man would then be walking around with this bed that he used to lie on. And if he was going to break the rule and bless him so that he could set something off in the city, he needed someone who he could bless that it would be so ridiculous and so crazy that the man who had been laying there for 38 years was now carrying the thing that he used to lay on. He needed someone who was going to set something off in the city. I can't just pick anybody for this miracle. If that's your word, I want you to grab it. God wants to do something down on the inside of you that he can't just use anybody for, because he's trying to set something off in this city. He's trying to set something off in this industry. He's trying to set something off that makes hell nervous. And I need to use somebody who's going to pick up something that they were laying on. I'm going to pick up that gift that I've been sleeping on. I'm going to pick up that business that I've been sleeping on. You've been telling me for years that it was time for me to get my life together, but now I had an encounter with you and I'm ready to pick up that very thing that I was laying on. He let that man sit there and he waited. And he waited, and he waited to be healed. But he had to wait for a long time so that when God spoke that word, when Jesus spoke that word and said, rise up and take your bed and walk, that he would not ask him any more questions. That man picked up that bed. He said, you don't have to tell me twice. I think that that's what God is still looking for in this season. I'm looking for somebody who I don't have to repeat myself, that when I say, rise up your bed and walk, that you'll carry that bed, that you'll carry that music, that you'll carry that business. Don't ask me any questions. I let you get desperate enough that you wouldn't ask me twice. You don't have to tell me twice. You don't have to tell me twice, because I've been sitting here waiting for other people to get healed. I've been sitting here waiting for somebody to carry me. I've been sitting here waiting for somebody to pick me up. And if you tell me that I can pick up this bed and walk, don't play with me, Jesus, because I will pick up this bed. I'll pick up this ministry. I'll pick up this marriage, and I'll walk with it like a sign. He needed somebody who was tired of waiting. He needed somebody who was tired of watching everyone else get their breakthrough while they just sit down waiting on somebody to carry them. I'm sorry they couldn't carry you, but then again, I'm not sorry at the same time, because it made you desperate for a word from God. It made you desperate to pick up your bed and walk. My subject for tonight is carry it. Carry it. Carry it. Carry it. This is a prophetic word. This word isn't for everybody. This is a word for somebody that's been sitting on something that God told you to release a long time ago. I don't expect for everyone to get happy. I just need that person who's been lying on that gift, who's been lying on that bed. God, you told me when you...
sent me to this city, that there was something in this city for me. I hear God saying it's time for you to carry that thing that I gave you.
Because the timing is coming. The timing is coming. He had to do it on the Sabbath because it would break a rule. But he also did it on the Sabbath because the man would stand out on the Sabbath for carrying the bed. He wouldn't have stood out if he did it on Monday. He wouldn't have stood out if he did it on Tuesday. It would have looked weird, but he wouldn't have stood out. But God set the stage for him to stand out with that thing. God set the stage so that it would look ridiculous for him to be walking with this thing. He set the stage so that he could break the rules. He set the stage so that he could break the rule. I want you to know that I'm setting the stage right now. I'm just waiting on the Sabbath. I'm just waiting on the day that it doesn't make any sense for you to be healed, so that everyone can see that I broke the rules to get you that healing. I broke the rules to get you that breakthrough. Somebody in this room ought to be in jail. Somebody, don't play with me. I know who's in here. Somebody in this room ought to be dead and in their grave. But I broke the rules to get you here. Take up your bed. Take up your bed and walk. Take up that thing that you've been sitting on. That gift, that talent, that pursuit of wholeness. That breakup, that addiction, that something you've been sitting on that you need to be carrying. Because you've been waiting for somebody to see you. The man who was laying by the pool ultimately says, I'm waiting on somebody to see me. Because if somebody sees me, maybe they'll help me. Jesus said, if you see yourself right, if you see yourself the way that I see you, you wouldn't need anybody to see you. I'm going to say that again until it gets somebody in the back. If you see yourself the way I see you, you wouldn't need anybody else to see you. Because you would realize that me and you could partner and we could do some things in the earth. Jesus was getting ready to set Jerusalem on fire. And I know we're not in the Bible days, but this is important because we're at Activate LA. And I don't know who's watching. Maybe you're activating Chicago. Maybe you're activating Denver. But I came to let you know that Jesus is ready to set something off in the spirit realm again. And he's looking for somebody who he won't have to tell twice. He's looking for somebody who's not waiting for somebody to see them. They're just waiting for the word. I'm looking for a sound. I'm looking for the sound that says, take up your bed and walk. I think that's what tonight's message is supposed to be about. This is a sound for somebody. Maybe I should have called it sounding the alarm, because I wanted somebody to know that he's ready for you now, that he's ready for you to take up your bed and walk, that he's ready for you to start carrying a sign of his glory. Because that's what the lame man ends up carrying, is glory. The kind of glory you can only receive after you've been sitting somewhere paralyzed. Paralyzed by fear. Paralyzed by anxiety. Paralyzed by abandonment issues. I've been paralyzed for too long. But if he would have been healed the way that he wanted to be healed, he wouldn't have been in position for Jesus to use him the way that he needed to use him to set that thing off in the city. So he let him wait, and he let him get desperate enough to try Jesus. I got to try something that I never thought that I would have to try, because I'm that desperate for my healing. I don't know who you are, but I wanted to let you know that you don't have to be paralyzed any longer. I wanted to let you know that you don't have to be stuck just because no one would carry you. That it's too much pressure to put on one person to be your friend and your savior, to be your lover and your savior. I'm sorry that you've been paralyzed by what happened to you. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but I just want you to know that just because no one sees that you're paralyzed doesn't mean that you cannot be healed from this paralysis. You can be healed from this. But you got to remember that it was never about someone carrying you, and it was always about whether or not you wanted to be made whole. You may never get that apology. They may never understand the damage that happened to you. They may never understand that you sat there and you waited for them to come fix what happened. But that's okay, because that doesn't mean that we're staying there. Because one encounter with God can expand your perspective. And it can make you realize that I didn't need you to carry me. And I didn't need someone to take me to the pool, that God would bring a miracle to me. For somebody, this is not just a Thursday night service. This is God bringing that word to them. I'll bring the moment to you. I wasn't searching for Jesus when I found him. I just opened my eyes and I realized that he was there. I wasn't searching for a ministry. I just opened my eyes and a ministry was there. I wasn't searching for anything. But I could not see what was there until I gave up this notion of someone carrying me. Someone fixing me. Someone making me feel better. Someone healing what was broken down on the inside of me. Someone giving me some attention. When I let that go and I said, maybe I'm enough by myself. When I let that go and I said, at the end of the day, I thought I needed a person, but what I really need more than anything is to be made whole. I just want to be made whole. But it takes you sitting there, paralyzed, watching the world move on around you, to make you finally say within yourself, I'll try Jesus. I'll try your way. I'll stop sitting on this thing, and I'll try to pick up my bed and walk. He got desperate. I don't know, man. This is not the structure that I wanted the message to have. But I really do feel that for somebody, that God wants to give you your legs back, that he wants to give you your creativity back. What does it mean to try Jesus? It means to think the highest thought. It means to believe that when he got on that cross, that he gave you another option. It means that there's really healing that is available to you. It means that I'm going to start acting the way that he acts instead of acting the way my circumstance made me act. I want to start a new path. I want to think differently. I'm tired of being depressed. Jesus, what would you say about this situation? Jesus, what would you say about this industry? I'm tired of being paralyzed. God, speak a word about my situation. I hear God saying, forgive. I hear God saying, you can still walk. But when you walk, I love this because it stands to reason. I think any doctor would agree that after being paralyzed for so long, his legs were probably too weak to stand up himself. But when he's told to stand up, he's also told to carry this bed, which means that God trusted the strength that he would have when he stood up, that it wouldn't just be him carrying himself, but that he could handle some weight. I feel that prophetically for somebody. When you get back up, you won't be stumbling. I feel the presence of God in this place. Somebody thinks that they can walk again, but they're afraid to stumble. I want to prophesy in this room. When you get back up again, you will not stumble. I know it's been on again and off again, but that season is over. I rebuke the enemy and every thought that he's ever placed in your mind that made you think you'll always be who you used to be. I speak the blood of Jesus over your life. When he steps into a room, he closes doors that no man can open, and he opens doors that no man can shut. You're not just getting up again. I'm going to put some weight on you. I'm going to let you carry something. I'm going to trust you with weight. I'm going to trust you with influence. I'm going to trust you with that marriage. I'm going to trust you with that family. I'm going to put some weight down on the inside of you. God sees you. He sees you. If you're here and you just have been paralyzed, you know you're gifted. You know you have purpose. You know that there's something bigger and better for you, but I'm paralyzed by fear. I'm paralyzed by failure. And I can't move. The moment I try to move, I get flooded with these thoughts and ideas that I'm not going to make it. Can you meet me down here at the altar? But don't just come. Bring your bed with you. Because when you come down to this altar, you're not going back the same way you went. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. This is a sign. I'm going to see a victory. Not going to be lost. Not going to be afraid. I prophesy this over my life. I'm making a declaration. I'm going to get my mind back. I'm going to get my strength back. I want my legs back. I want my confidence back. Yeah. So when the paralyzed man and Jesus came into alignment about what he really needed and what he really wanted, it gave space for that miracle to take place. I think that when we don't know the steps to how God's going to do something, that we just have to come into agreement that he's going to do it. So when we sing that song, that I'm going to see a victory, there's somebody who's thinking, well, I don't really know how that's going to happen because I don't really have the resources and I haven't had the job. We're not talking about the practical. We're not talking about the logistics of it. We're talking about what's going to happen when it's all said and done. because I am a child of the Most High God. And when God set me down in this earth, it was not so that I can lose. So I come into agreement with what he says. I come into agreement with who he says I am. I'm going to see a victory in my marriage. I'm going to see a victory in my business. I don't know how he's going to do it, and it's none of my business.
Amen, amen. Get up and carry. Get up and let God use you. Stop staying in that place. Get up. I hope you guys have a blessed and phenomenal day. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628 when we're on. If you need prayer or oil, you can definitely text us at 832-519-7646. Or if you want to sow, you can at $WGC2020 or PayPal at Worldwide Gospel GC. Remember, you're not in this fight by yourself. Encourage. Share the show. Send it to somebody that you know that needs the encouragement. Remember, iron sharpens iron. God's have a blessed and phenomenal day, and keep God first.